The infrastructure discussion, apart from the issue of how we pay for it, which has seemed to be the major focus, and the merits of different type of funding possibilities, it isn't about denial anymore that we need to invest, is it?
Well, ultimately, it's about quality of life, you know, for the American citizens, and how do you improve mobility while also reducing highway congestion, airport congestion, improving air quality, and reducing consumption of foreign oil. And so high-speed rail, upgrading passenger rail is a critical element of achieving this, and achieving balance to our transportation network.
There are many, many people with great expertise who have indicated that our rail itself is in need of tremendous improvement, and that that alone puts us at a tremendous deficit in, as you say, quality of life and quality of commercial opportunity and competitiveness. What would you say to that?
Well, I think when you talk about a vision for passenger rail, it's very important that you view it in a trying to achieve a comprehensive passenger rail network. So many people mistakenly believe that every train in Europe or Asia is going 200 miles per hour, where on the contrary, you know, the TGV in France is only carrying about 28% of the passengers. You have to look at the whole system, the whole network, and these regional trains, in many cases are the workhorses. And so while 200 mile per hour service is a very, very important element of our plan for the United States, our view is very comprehensive. We understand that there are markets, in regions where emerging high-speed rail service, at 125 miles per hour, actually is much more cost-effective in providing this mobility. And clearly, there needs to be upgrades in existing service. It's a matter of matching the level of service and the speed of that service with what the market demands are, and achieving trip times that are competitive to or superior to air and auto travel.
Let me ask you this. Are there lessons from what we did wrong or that we didn't do sufficiently?
This is a program that's in its infancy, so there is always lessons that are learned and steps that can be taken, for improvement as you move forward. I mean, to a great extent, it's a lot like watching a young child develop. You know, the advancement is impressive, and yet on occasion there's a misstep, and the key is to make sure that there are lessons learned from those missteps. So we're pleased with the progress of the program and how far we have come since the president announced the first grant recipients 11 months ago.
Give me a sense of exactly what your program does, what it's really trying to achieve.
Congress set up the high-speed rail program as a state-driven program. It's federally funded, but it's state-driven. And so it's really incumbent upon states to determine what are their mobility needs and what are their, what is the vision for providing mobility to the public for the future, and how are we going to move what is going to be 70 million more people in the next 25 years, how are we going to move them while also reducing, fuel consumption, improving congestion, and making reductions in, the use of foreign oil. And so as states develop their transportation plans, our federal program is here to provide funding for rail programs to help them provide a balanced transportation network.
The president has identified infrastructure concern, the need for investment, and the benefits of that. Quite clearly, we are way past denial, aren't we?
There's no question that strategic investments in infrastructure, can be tremendous job generators and a very important component of reinvigorating domestic manufacturing. When you take a look at the mobility needs of this nation, congestion is worsening. Air quality continues to be a concern, and the consumption of foreign oil continues to be a problem. And so we need to be strategic with these infrastructure investments to ensure we're getting a maximum return on providing mobility for Americans while also improving congestion, improving air quality, and reducing consumption of foreign oil.
High-speed rail sounds pretty good to most citizens. Are we looking for the holy grail of transportation here?
Well, I think it's important to note that high-speed rail is not necessarily a silver bullet, in every market. It's a matter of understanding your market opportunities. High-speed rail can be the most efficient mode of transportation and moving people between cities of appropriate density that are within roughly a 500-mile radius. And so it's a matter of understanding where these opportunities are. And these are the potential markets for success. Certainly nobody's going to be looking at taking a high-speed rail train from New York to California. And that's not what our vision is about. Air travel is clearly more efficient in those markets, over these long distances. But in distances of 500 miles or less, where you have the population densities, there's no question of passenger rail superiority, when it comes to an efficient mode of moving people.
Where should we be looking now to see progress in the development of high-speed rail systems?
Well, currently California is moving forward with their state vision for a network that connects San Francisco and Los Angeles. The population densities are strong. The distance is appropriate. It really is a tremendous opportunity for success, with a 200-mile-an-hour plus rail network. Florida is taking a look at their plan. The first leg is between Tampa and Orlando. Ultimately, it will connect Orlando and Miami. And again, these are good markets where there's wonderful opportunities for success. In the Midwest, they're taking a look at more of an emerging high-speed rail project, speeds of more 110, 125 miles per hour, connecting cities like Chicago, St. Louis, Chicago, Detroit, Chicago to Milwaukee. And so there's some tremendous opportunities there. North Carolina is moving forward with their vision. Washington State and Oregon are moving forward with their vision. So these are just a handful of the places where we're starting to see construction and projects moving forward today.
How come do you think more Americans aren't engaged in the issue of infrastructure, especially as it relates to transportation matters? How come you think we've, despite all the challenges, we've sort of still mostly left it to others to sort out?
I think historically, infrastructure is something that's been taken for granted. The quality of our infrastructure over the last 50 years has generally been very good. It certainly isn't a sexy topic, the type of thing that draws attention. When it comes to passenger rail in particular, we've just gone through a period of the love affair with the automobile. It's a symbol of freedom for Americans, but now we've gotten to the point where we can no longer build our way out of the congestion that has resulted from growth in population and growth in the use of automobiles. And so there has to be balance in the transportation network. There has to be travel alternatives so we can ensure that we continue to provide good mobility to citizens. But you know, infrastructure is one of those things, unfortunately, that too often Americans just take for granted. They expect it to be there and don't really contemplate the level of planning and investment that is necessary to make sure that these mobility needs are going to be met over the next several decades.